Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. We are going to be joined in studio today by Steve Friend. Of course, many of you know Steve Friend. He is an FBI whistleblower. He was an FBI agent. And then due to his deep convictions, which are constitutional convictions, rule of law, right? He said, look, I can't go around kicking down the doors of people that were peacefully protesting. Some of them that by invitation came into the U.S. Capitol or were confused and thought the doors were opened and they were invited in. And some of them were. We heard the police saying, Capitol Police saying, come on in, just take care of the property. Do we really want to go around kicking down the doors of Americans like that with a SWAT team? Why can't we just show up as we have in the past, knock on their door, talk to them, talk to their attorney, and then go from there? And if they need to surrender themselves, they can do what many have done, surrender themselves at a certain time with their attorney. Do we have to go around kicking down people's doors at 5 a.m. With SWAT teams? And so he and Kyle Serafin and others said, no, this is not following the procedure, the protocol, the rule of law. So he is in studio. He's in the Mid-South speaking. And so we've invited him back into our studio the second time he's been with us. And we're glad to have him with us today. But we're going to go first to Aaron, our correspondent on the ground in Israel. We have breaking news and very tragic, heartbreaking news today. We are now being told there are 21 IDF soldiers that have been killed in the last few hours. This is the largest loss of IDF. This is the largest loss of Israeli citizens since October 7th. And this is really, we're talking yesterday about the fact that on a daily basis, pretty much, the Israelis are watching funerals on television. Now we have 21 IDF soldiers that have died in battle. We'll tell you how. Aaron Lavarko joins us now. Aaron, thank you for being with us. Condolences to you and your country.
Yes, hi, Brannon. Thank you for that. We are a nation once again in mourning and grief. Woke up this morning to the news, talking to a few of my friends, ex-military guys. It's just sickening, heartbreaking. Thinking of the military having to tell the family, breaking the news, and certainly under the circumstances as well. This was kind of almost shouldn't have happened. They were penetrating into the really into the heart of the southern Gaza, Khan Yunis, where we were moving in. And we'd actually captured a number of missiles and underground mines that we were able to take and confiscate and put into safe places. And then a missile that was launched, a rocket, hit the building nearby, and the building exploded, detonating all the mines and all the ammunition that we had taken. And, of course, now the rest is history.
Let me have you back up
right there. This is a big blow.
Absolutely. Let me have you back up there so I understand. Are you saying the IDF collected a bunch of explosives and ammunition they were finding and they put them in one location?
Yeah, they did. They had it in trucks in certain destinations that happened to be, as they were penetrating in, they didn't really have time, because to get in, they had to take these mines and other missiles and things that they found on the way. They had to take them out of the way. They didn't have time to move them out and clear them out. They were gathering and collecting as they were going in, and it happened so fast.
And they're moving with trucks. Am I to understand they were moving with trucks and vehicles loaded with these explosives as they were moving in?
No, as they were going in, they were collecting these explosives. They were collecting mines. They were collecting ammunition.
Right, that's right. So as they're moving in and they're collecting these things up, they kept going, but their pile in their trucks kept getting bigger and bigger. Yes. With these explosives.
Exactly.
And then what was the detonation?
The detonation was a launched missile rocket that was fired, and it took all the ammunition out and made a massive explosion.
So the enemy wasn't friendly fire. It was the enemy.
It wasn't friendly fire. It was definitely the enemy. Now, I don't believe that they knew this was a trap. I don't believe that they knew what was in the truck and what was in the that we were gathering, and that we had all these explosives. It just happened to be, and it was one of these tragic events.
Is there video footage of the explosion? Can the family take comfort in the fact that, if you can, in any time of this, at least that most of these died instantly? They were not laying there suffering. Was this like an instant thing for most of them?
Yeah, it was instant. It was totally instant. It was a massive explosion. Now the kind of redeeming news is that can you still hear me, Brandon?
Yes, I can, Aaron.
Okay, great. Something just came up on my thing.
Say that one more. What just happened?
Yeah, no, just something came up on my screen and I thought I'd lost you. That's
yeah.
All.
Well, right now we're seeing the concrete right now.
Okay, there we go. Well, within the last couple of hours, the news is that what these soldiers' goal was to take out certain infrastructure. That mission has now been completed. And this is what we've known all along. We will win this war, but as a ex-soldier who's in his 80s, who's fought in the 1954 war, 1967 war, 1973 Yom Kippur war, told me today, he said, we'll win, but it will be at a heavy price. And that's the painful thing about war, ugly thing about war. And the sad thing is, as a nation, we're only a small nation. Every soldier counts. Every life matters. And we're grieving. And we have to keep on. We have to keep moving forward. We have to keep the mission at right in front of us.
What about Hamas causes buildings to collapse? 21 IDF soldiers dead. So were some of these soldiers in a building?
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Not only it was the buildings that collapsed, as well as the rocket, and inside the building as well, there was explosives that caused all the ammunition to detonate. So it was a combination of being hit by the rocket, also with the buildings collapsing and other ammunition within the building exploding. It was a massive kind of a conglomeration of events all at once. But
yeah,
certainly the buildings. And yeah, there are questions. Was it a trap? To some degree, maybe it was, but certainly not with the knowledge of all the ammunition that we had on it.
I want to switch to another story here. Raw footage, this is breaking news. Raw footage, it says here, breaking news at Jerusalem Post. Raw footage of Hamas October 7th attack to be screened at IRF Summit 2024. That's the International Religious Freedom Summit in Washington, D.C. on January 30th, 2024. That is what was announced today by the IRF, the International Religious Freedom. Do you know what's going to be screened? We've been hearing about all of these people that are seeing a documentary or a collection of things put together into a screening. We've heard of people in the Knesset. We've seen the video footage of them coming out about a month or more ago of meetings, leaning against the wall, crying, having to be consoled because they couldn't take it anymore and walked out of the room. Do we have any word as to what raw footage they will be seeing in D.C. on January 30th? It says the Israeli Embassy to the United States and the Philos Project jointly coordinated the screening, which will include extremely graphic footage. The footage is compiled from a variety of sources, including cell phone recordings by Hamas terrorists, and that's pretty much the end of the article. Do you know if this is some of the same footage? And, Aaron, I have been trying to find this footage. Now, we've already showed on the morning after, you and I and Annie and Leo on the air, were showing some of the raw footage that had gotten out onto social media. We were showing it. We didn't show all of the graphic footage because we couldn't confirm the validity of some of it. A lot of the footage we did not show because we weren't sure about the source. Turns out it was indeed exactly what we thought it was. It was from Israel, but we didn't want to show it unless we could verify it. So we were trying to verify in pretty well real time. But that being said, you know that those 2 days I said, folks, I'm sorry. We are showing raw footage and we are not going to scramble it. If you can't handle it, then please don't watch. But we are going to make a historical record and grab all these up in our programming because we fear that it will be turned against Israel in a matter of days. And, of course, it was. But we didn't want any of that footage going missing, being taken down, just like Eisenhower and Bradley and Patton walked through the concentration camps and filmed it in black and white at the behest of General Eisenhower, who said, we have to do this or people are going to say it never happened. That's what we were doing. We were grabbing that raw footage because we didn't want it leaving. We didn't want someone eliminating it. And we also want people to see that it really did happen in all its brutality. That being said, with all this going on with the rise of anti-Semitism, I'm sorry. I want to show everything. If they have raw footage, I want to do a broadcast, give everybody a warning, but I'm going to show it. How can we get our hands on what everyone's seeing around the world? Because I can't. Why have they not just put it out for everybody to see and broadcasters like me to show?
So you're specifically talking about this religious freedom conference, or whatever raw footage from the war.
Well, they're going to be showing footage from that. They're saying they got raw footage of October 7th attack to be screened, and this is not the only group to screen this footage. This has been going on all in various countries. When are we going to be able to show some of this footage to the world online?
Well, you know, this is the battle of the media. This is the battle of the media. And by the way, the reason why the reception is bad here, because I'm in the north, and I heard actually this morning, because of the war up in the north with South Lebanon, I'm only like half an hour from the border here. There are serious communication issues, and we could actually be out for a few days if things really start to heat up. But let me carry on by saying, we don't know who the powers are that be that are doing the controlling of this, desensitized or rather declassified information. So I will look into it. I will see what I can find out. But, you know, I know we have people working within the government and other organizations. There is a Hebrew word, it's called hasbara, and it means it's kind of an English word would be something like a defense or an explanation, and it is a strategy to defend Israel through the media. Now, there could be reasons on a positive level why things aren't being shown, but my guess is probably negative reasons. But let me look into that, and I'll see what I can find out.
All right. Sounds good. We come back. We're going to mention one more thing because Hamas releases propaganda document denying atrocities of October 7th and blaming Israel for the civilian deaths on October 7th. It is a 16-page document. I have it. You can read it. We're going to go through it on the air in another broadcast. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Have you checked out all the free programming lately at worldviewtube.com? Hello, I'm Brennan House. If you go right now to worldviewtube.com, you are going to find so many television shows ready for you on demand, like my nightly newscast, The Worldview Report, my daily radio show that's also a TV show now. That's available at worldviewtube.com. The 90-minute live show, Brennan House Live, that's available each and every day at worldviewtube.com. It cost us many, many thousands of dollars a month in streaming, bandwidth bill, and IT bills to make available these free programs. But we do it as a ministry and public service of WVW Broadcast Network. Now, one way we're able to do this is through the generous support of you through our WVW Foundation. Think of us as your conservative Christian worldview alternative to National Public Radio, National Public Television. Would you become a sponsor now so we can continue to push out free radio shows and TV shows at worldviewtube.com and worldviewradio.com? We're also looking for more regular monthly contributors. Would you consider signing up if you haven't already for a monthly contribution, $5, $10, whatever you can afford? It's greatly appreciated. WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. And you'll find our phone number there if you'd like to make a contribution via the phone. Again, that's WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVWFoundation.com. And check out all the free ministry programming at worldviewtube.com. And don't forget our Sunday night church service that I've been teaching on Sunday nights since 2015. That's live 8 p.m. Central Time at worldviewtube.com each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. Worldviewtube.com, brought to you by WVWFoundation.com. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio. Steve Friend, the FBI whistleblower, former agent and FBI whistleblower, is in studio. We're going to go to him in just a second. We're going to finish up with our correspondent on the ground in Israel, brought to you by our foundation, WVWFoundation.com. Aaron, Hamas has released this narrative, Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. It is about, it's multiple pages. Let's see how many pages is it. It's 16 pages. And we're going to go through this. I don't know if you've read this or not, but I would like for you to go through it. It's at the Jerusalem Post. And I would like for us to do a program. I'll print it out or mark it up. And let's go through here and refute their lies on another show, maybe tomorrow if you're available, because this is an information propaganda media war. And it goes right along with the fact that I'm sorry we have to show it, but I want to show the video footage uncensored on my other program. Because we need the historical document, and people need to face the reality of what we're talking about, and we can maybe show this the foolishness and lie that the atrocities and the genocide is Israel, as Israel's on trial still at the International Criminal Court. So you want to say you want to show genocide? We'll show you genocide, folks. And would I want my family members shown like that? No. But if that ever happens to me. I've told my family, they ever do that kind of thing to me, you have my permission to show whatever it is they did to me if it's caught on camera, because I want these people revealed for the demonic, dark and hearted, butchers they are. So I'm sorry. The world and the media has pushed our hands to have to show this and go through these kind of documents. Closing comment?
Well, Brennan, Hamas didn't do it. It wasn't Hamas. That's what they say. And furthermore, they say that the innocent babies and women and children, they, because they were on quote-unquote occupied territory, they also were not civilians. They were soldiers. They were enemies. These are the narratives that they are making up. They are actually even...
Let me start with the first one. You said they're saying Hamas didn't do this. That's the first lie.
Yeah, they're saying they did not do it.
Well, who That's did it then? Saying. Who did it?
They look you in the eye and they lie. And they you can
you know the old saying, them, tell a lie often enough and people will believe it.
That's right. It's just ridiculous. It's not even worth wasting our breath. Hamas operatives were videoing it as they were going. 5,000 Hamas prisoners we have in our hands. 5,000. We have filmed many of them testifying to what they did. They were under orders from the Hamas leaders. So, but it's ridiculous. And that's why I'm saying it's not even worth getting into it. Otherwise, we will end up banging our heads against a brick wall because it's insane that they could come up and lie and say that they didn't do it. That's how frustrating it can be. And that's why when the International Criminal Court happened 2 weeks ago, I watched the seven South African lawyers spew out these kind of lies, twist it, turn it on Israel, saying that we are committing genocide. And I had to turn it off after half an hour. But then the next day, when I watched our seven lawyers, I watched every single minute for about 3 hours, and I was weeping because at last, after about 100 days, we have a voice. We have a platform to tell the world what exactly happened.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You're saying it's not worth our breath, and I'm saying no, but it is worth our breath.
Well, it is definitely. When we get a platform like that, yes. But when it's just nonstop lies, you know, one-on-one, you know, you can do your part, of course. You know, that's at a different level when you're talking about on the international scene. Definitely, we will do it, and I'll do it until I'm blue in the face. But when it comes to one-on-one, when it comes to over and over and over and over again, these people, I guess what I'm trying to say is, these people have made up their mind. You're not going to change
right, but I'm not
their minds.
I'm not interested in arguing with Hamas, but I am interested in putting out information that people can use and get the historical facts correct so that their family member and their friends can be corrected when they start spewing the lies that Israel's a genocide state, they're a racist state, they're apartheid state, they stole the land. People have to be given the truth to refute those lies. I'm going to give you one example. This is coming from this report from Hamas. The battle of the Palestinian people against occupation and colonialism did not start on October 7th, but started 105 years ago, including 30 years of British colonialism and 75 years of Zionist occupation. In 1918, the Palestinian people owned 98.5% of the Palestinian land and represented 92% of the population of the Palestinian land. While the Jews who were brought to Palestine in mass immigration campaigns in coordination between the British colonial authorities and the Zionist movement managed to seize control of not more than 6% of the land, blah, blah, blah. Are you still hearing me, Aaron? Do we lose
yes,
you?
I am. No. I'm here with you. And I wonder if Logan can put me back on, try to put me back on video.
All right, we'll try that again. What's that, Logan? It's flipped. I think you're still showing the concrete. Flip your camera.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're still showing concrete.
Why is that?
Okay, but I got to keep moving real quick. So what I'm saying is we've got to go through these lies on another program because this is what people are saying. It wasn't until the British and the Zionists brought them back into the land that they became the Jewish nation again. That's baloney. The Jews always lived there. How can you steal a land you have a deed to? And by the way, that deed is not only in the Bible, Genesis 15, even the Quran says the land belongs to the Jewish people.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Hang on, let me turn my camera around. Exactly. This is the new narrative that is going on, changing history. They believe that the Jews failed and they messed up their Bible. So God turned to the Christians. They did the same. And so then they believe that God turned to a shepherd boy, Muhammad, and gave him all these revelations. And by the way, I have a friend who's a soldier. He's just walked by. Do we have a few minutes to ask him any questions?
Yeah, go
here,
ahead.
Brandon?
Yeah, go ahead, please. What is the down thumb? Who just put a thumb down on my screen? It's Skype? All right,
so,
go ahead.
So if you could just say what your name is.
My name is Gabriel.
His name's. Can you hear him, Brandon?
Faintly, but yes.
Faintly, okay. And can you just say, you're talking now to the United States. Can you just say a little bit with a loud voice what your role in the army is and how do you feel about the news, what happened today with our soldiers?
The news, of course, is not really making me happy, but it's a war and sometimes you need to pay a price. In my opinion, it's a higher price than we should, because we shouldn't be paying prices. Our soldiers shouldn't be paying prices that our enemies should pay, especially not, in my opinion, it's a little maybe political, but my opinion, the liberal base of how they see the world and how they accept the world to basically be
the liberal left, yes.
Liberal, it's basically in Israel, it's not the liberal is usually left, but I'd say the liberal, because sometimes that's the main goal, the main idea of that.
And you're, of course, you're right wing, you're religious.
I'm religious.
And whose land does this belong to? The Palestinians?
No,
Hamas?
No, of course not.
And when did our history begin? Did it begin in 1948?
No, of course not. I think they understand that too. Because like if you open the Quran, which is the basically the holy book of the
Muslims,
basically you can read it and it's like really like it's a pseudo copy of the Bible. Basically, the names are almost the same. They have Yusuf instead of Yosef. They have Jibril instead of Gabriel. They have like.
It's like a counterfeit. It's like a counterfeit.
And in there, and in there, because of the audio, a little difficult to hear him. We've got to get you set up with two mics. But what he's saying is exactly what Usama, Annie have told us, that they ripped off the Bible instead of recreating their own history. But I think where he was going was even the Quran mentions that the Israel belongs to the Jewish people. Correct.
Basically.
Yep. All right. Aaron.
Of course, the Muslims will say that there's different versions. And of course, they have a whole set of statements that they will say. But the main rule, the main statement is that we were there. They say that. But they say that they came to replace us.
Exactly. Hey, listen, I'm sorry to stop you like that. Thank you, and I want to bless you and pray protection over you, and thank you for defending our people, and God bless you. Thanks. Okay, thanks. Thank you.
So he's active IDF. He's wearing his uniform, right?
He is, Brandon. Now, he is an Orthodox Jew. He is not required to serve in the army.
Wow.
Because if you're practicing religious, you do not need to. There, before the war, there are a growing number of Orthodox Jews who are wanting to serve in the army. But since the war began, and this is the incredible thing, the unity that is coming in Israel, thousands and thousands of Orthodox Jews are volunteering and they're saying, I want to go in there. I want to help in some way or another. So thank God for people like that.
Indeed. LightToTheNationsMinistry.com is Aaron Lavarko. Aaron, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Brandon. Thank you. And I'll try to get better technology. And I went up to Jerusalem today and I brought all the equipment. So hopefully this time tomorrow, we're going to be in business.
Amazing. Excellent. Excellent. All right. So we're going to PayPal you this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Aaron Lavarko checking in, folks. LightToTheNationsMinistry.com. Again, brought to you on the ground over there by our foundation that underwrites those costs and expenses and new equipment so we can bring you the truth through the lens of a Christian worldview and of course, the Bible, WVWFoundation.com. Joining me in studio now is Steve Friend, the FBI whistleblower. Steve, welcome back to our studios.
Great to be here.
So, Steve, tell us what it is you are doing here in the Mid-South, please.
I'm going to be barnstorming around the state, started in West Tennessee, working our way to Central Tennessee tomorrow, and I'm going to wind up in Knoxville on Friday doing multiple events to sort of spread the word. My theme is really trying to share the information that I didn't have the opportunity when I testified in front of Congress just because of politicians were seeking the microphone more than the witnesses.
Hmm. So tell me what the turnout has been like. You're here in the Mid-South now. You spoke last night?
I did. Spoke in front of a group, probably about 100, 150 people there. I was really impressed with the content of the questions that we got. They were really informed and wanted to seek that information. You know, it's always sort of a roll of dice with the groups that you get. Mm-hmm. People might want to just argue or just have the opportunity to get a mic in front of them, but they were really embracing the fact that they were there to ask a question for the benefit of the group, and I was happy to answer as many questions as I could.
Excellent. Let's talk about, we got a break coming up any second, you'll start hearing the music, but when we come back from the break, I want to talk about, there it is, I want to talk about January 6th and the pipe bomb.
All right, happy to.
I touched on it last night with Ivan Raiklin from his hospital bed. Did you hear he's in the hospital?
I did not.
He went tobogganing on Friday and broke his leg in three places.
That just shows you're just too old.
I told him that. I absolutely told him that he should act your age and that wouldn't happen. He was tobogganing with his kids and broke it three places, has a rod going down his leg, and literally was coming to us from his hospital bed last night.
Well, that's dedication. That's dedication. Look, I knew I was growing up when I went skiing, and my one recollection was I'm just glad I didn't break my leg.
Exactly. It is dedication because he did his show yesterday from the hospital bed. We touched on the January 6th pipe bomb, quote, pipe bomb. We're going to get more from Steve Friend right after this break on that topic. Don't go away.
What would you do if your local pharmacy shut down or there was an interruption in the just-in-time inventory of critical medications? What if the power grid goes down and you need an antibiotic? What are you going to do? Hello, I'm Brandon House. Well, that concerned me and my wife for several years. And thankfully, last year, my friends at the wellness company that include Dr. James Thorpe and Dr. Peter McCullough created the Wellness Company Emergency Medical Kit. I have four of them. That's because I have family members that I want to make sure I could provide antibiotics to in case of an emergency. You know, something very non-life-threatening like strep throat could well become life-threatening if not treated. And if you can't get your hands on prescription meds during a national crisis, well, that would not be a good thing. So I got four of these kits so my family members have these eight vital medications. If you go to twc.health/Brannon, TWC stands for The Wellness Company, twc.health/Brannon, it will list for you the eight medications in this emergency kit and what they treat. Now, this is a real prescription from a doctor. So when you order it, be sure to then go back into your email, check your email for the paperwork you're going to have to complete and fill out so that you can get your prescription and get your emergency medical kit with these eight vital prescription meds in the mail at your front door. Again, this is a great way for your family to be prepared for the unthinkable. And with every purchase of each emergency medical kit, the Wellness Company donates a percentage back to our organization to help fund our broadcast. So everybody's winning. twc.health/Brannon. twc.health/Brannon. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Steve Friend joins us. Steve, before we get into January 6th, give all your contact info where people can read your articles and find out more about you.
Well, you can find me on social media. I make sure I link everything there on X. It's at Real Steve Friend. If you like Truth Social, it's at Real _ Steve Friend. I write everything I can for Center for Renewing America, and that's AmericaRenewing.com. And then the podcast is on Rumble. It's the American Radicals podcast.
American Radicals?
Well, I think our goal is to sort of become a banded threat that the FBI can investigate.
So you just put it right in the title.
Why not? Just advertise.
Why not? Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about January 6th, the quote pipe bomb. Now, I'm reading articles that put quotes around pipe bomb. Why are they putting quotes around pipe bomb?
Well, I've become acquainted and actually quite good friends with Steve Baker, who writes for the Blaze right mm-hmm. now, and he's been like a dog with a bone on January 6th. He's disproven, or at least proven the lies that happened in the Oath Keepers trial with video evidence, and he got his hand on some more video footage about this pipe bomb at the DNC that was uncovered, and the narrative, first of all, that they said it was a passerby, a quote-unquote passerby who found it, it's now been determined that it was actually a plainclothes Capitol Police officer who did. Mm. Brought that information then to the other agents who were there on scene, supposed to be holding security for then Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. And instead of addressing and coordinating that area off immediately, they proceeded to finish their lunch and allow children and civilians to walk past it before, after a few minutes, then going and securing the area.
Does that sound like people that were concerned that that's really an explosive device?
I think every answer to that is bad. They're either woefully incompetent security, or it was, as I've been told by people, likely a hoax device.
And so if it was a hoax device, it was just, again, for the propaganda in the media.
Yeah, I think it was if it was indeed a hoax device, it certainly routed resources away from the Capitol Police because they had to send them.
Oh, wow. Let's stop right there. If it was a hoax device, it was meant to route the police away from the U.S. Capitol.
It would have ensured far fewer people who were there personnel-wise to handle a large gathering of folks who were going to the Capitol.
So what it would have done then is if you have good police officers who could have stopped bad police officers or bad actors and even arrested the bad actors, some of them who were wearing MAGA gear who were really not MAGA people, those good guys in uniform could have stopped the bad guys.
It definitely would have led to larger lines of officers who were able to more equipped to handle a large crowd. I mean, obviously, they were vastly outnumbered regardless of that. But at that situation, you don't want to be shorthanded.
Right, because we have footage of one MAGA guy going up to someone in black trying to break a window at the Capitol. And he's saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And the guy wearing black with his face covered, if I remember correctly, is telling the MAGA gear wearing patriot, you know, he's cussing at him, I think, but certainly getting physical with him, getting up in his personal space and intimidating him down. So if a cop or a police officer who's doing his job was there, he would have stepped in and stopped the perpetrator and would have been backing up the patriot, telling him, don't be doing that. And he would have stopped it, which would have been a problem for the people orchestrating this.
It absolutely would have. And the fact that now we've got a little bit more transparency and it's taken too long. But we have obviously this pipe bomb revelation come out. We had the Steve Baker broke the fact that the Harry Dunn and David Lazarus lied during the Oath Keepers trial. They perjured themselves about being in the same area during the confrontation between Harry Dunn and the Oath Keepers. The video actually supports their narrative that they stood in line and protected him rather than being adversarial. And then now we have Joe Hanneman from the Epoch Times who's broken the fact that after the shooting of Ashley Babbitt, the radio traffic involved Lieutenant Byrd going over the air saying that they were taking fire and he was prepared to return fire. Almost, I'm calling it post-meditation.
So you're telling me he said, we're taking fire. He said that, of course, he never did take fire.
No, there was the only round that was fired that day was
by him.
And he went on the radio subsequently to having shot Ashley Babbitt to report they were taking fire and he was prepared to return fire.
But he'd already done it.
Yes.
So he was laying a narrative to cover why he just killed her.
Yes. And, you know, you look at what's happened in the aftermath with all these guys. I mean, Lieutenant Byrd is now captain in the Capitol Police. You have the lead ATF agent who was on the pipe bomb, who's now been made in charge of intelligence for the Capitol Police, been promoted. And then you have Harry Dunn, who's been given multiple medals of valor, a book tour, and now potentially a congressional career, as he's declared his intention to run.
What does that tell you about Mike Johnson, the current Speaker of the House? I mean, what is he doing?
Yeah, it's a difficult situation coming in as late as he did in the year last year. But I do think that this is something that's significant that requires his attention. I'm hoping that he's going to release this footage far quicker than he could. In my conversations with Steve Baker, it's sort of a fool's errand to just release it all at once, because unless you really know what you're looking for, then it's very difficult to find. But there are more journalists than just Steve Baker and Joe Hanneman who've been looking at this footage, and we can certainly give them access to it.
But why not give the American people access? Because what we have seen is oftentimes it is the patriots, the American people, that are the ones that do such great citizen journalism. So why not release it all and let the American people go through it and help these guys find the best stuff? Here's something I think you better look at.
I agree. I think radical transparency is what we need. And obviously you have the groups like Sedition Hunters who have been given access to this information. And they're essentially deputized private citizens doing the work of the FBI to hunt down potential targets.
I bet there are a lot of retired FBI, retired federal marshals, retired military. Ivan Raiklin, I know. I mean, you could just go down the list of people you and I know. How about all the guys that have just signed the letter with Brad Miller and others? I mean, can you imagine all those guys who were in uniform that would gladly take some of their time to go through this?
Yeah, I think when you have, they keep saying it's, you know, 46,000 hours. I mean, we have 330 million people. It wouldn't really be a lift. I think we could probably get it done in a holiday weekend. We could all
watch. Because if you started cranking that out on X and it wasn't anything, people would ignore it. But if there's legitimate footage and you put it on X, it'll start to go viral.
You might be able to recruit Elon Musk to put it on his network there. I think that he would probably support that. And he seems to be a guy who is all about transparency. It's been disappointing the rate at which this has come out. I'm optimistic with how this is all coming out so so much so frequently now that maybe we've broken through on the dam on honesty. And I've said from the beginning, there were people that did bad things that needed to be punished that day.
Right.
But for the most part, it was the Miracle on 34th Street crowd. It was the letters to Santa Claus at the end of the movie to convince the judge that Santa Claus exists. It was a million people who were there to ask for an actual accounting and an audit of the election and exercise their First Amendment rights. But unfortunately, they are now caught up in a dragnet. And according to Matthew Graves, a U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., they're going to be persecuted even more. Because even if you did not enter the Capitol, you stood on the grounds, on the grass outside, the U.S. attorney's office in the District of Columbia intends to charge you with a crime.
And now, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. So I went there for Ronald Reagan's inauguration. I went back for George W. Bush's inauguration. At what point in history is the U.S. Capitol grounds not somewhere that people can walk on and around?
It should never be. It's the people's house. Their contention is that at some point on the 5th, there were some barricades erected, but there's actually more footage now that they were removed, and it looks like by an organization that did it. So that's something else.
So
that
there was
be
no way
at.
The people knew they were inside something that had been roped off or barricaded off because they were not the barricades were not there.
And they are continuing to rely on ignorance as no defense of violations of the law. But anyone who's even a first year law student knows that just doesn't hold water.
I mean, there's no intent.
There's no intent. And then you take someone like Steve Baker, who's being revealing all this information. He's actually under investigation from the DOJ. They intend to charge him with a crime. He was there as an independent journalist reporting on it, and they are trying to go through the code book to find anything that they can because he has stirred up this hornet's nest so badly. He told me that during an interview with the FBI, he said that he stood on a bench to get a better vantage point to record, and they found that was a violation of the law. You can't stand on a bench inside the Capitol building, and that's going to be one of the charges.
He was inside the building?
He went to the Capitol, and he was actually the last person that saw, or the only civilian who saw Ashley Babbitt being worked on by the medics at the time. And at the time, he told me that he
was the one that filmed that footage.
He filmed him coming out on the gurney.
Yeah, I've seen that footage. That was him.
Yes. So he was there to cover the Trump speech and to cover the event of the day, and then heard.
Has he been arrested yet?
No, he was warned in the immediate aftermath of January 6th that they would arrest him. Then 10 months later, they said that he would be charged within the week. And then he received notification 2 years later at the end of December last year that he was going to have to self-surrender. And then they delayed it again. So I think that they're worried now, especially because he's got a larger microphone working for the Blaze, and they've stood by him through this. They still refuse, though, to tell him what the charges are. And he just sits. And
but
this
the
is,
charges would be he came in the U.S. Capitol, right?
And to the extent that they're going to, I believe, and this was originally told to him, that he traveled over state lines to film it. And so that therefore he had pre-thought and he knew apparently he had better intelligence than the FBI that there was going to be some sort of insurrection at the Capitol that day, traveled across state lines to record it for monetary profit. That was going to be the argument that the DOJ made against him. So, yeah, he should probably be elevated to a position of intelligence if he has that sort of foresight, or at least he's some sort of Nostradamus. That's how he could make his living. But that's how thin the arguments are on him, and it's an absolute example of we're going to make the process the punishment from the DOJ and the FBI's perspective.
What about the information that came out in the last week or so that the FBI is now combing through the bank accounts of MAGA people and looking for words like MAGA and even trying to figure out if you've gone to a sporting goods store?
If you went to Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's, if you made a purchase involving the word Bible, if you had a purchase involving...
Let's stop right there, because we're on 67 Christian radio stations. Tell me what all you know about that right there.
This is an example of the collusion that goes on between the government and private industry. And they say that the FBI will always contend, we have a caveat, we don't investigate First Amendment protected activity. It's utter hogwash. They find ideologies that they deem to be problematic. They don't need a crime to occur. They just need a person. And they will focus in on that, and they look for keyword searches. And because they liaise with private industries like banking industry, and those folks don't want to fall afoul of the law. They want to cooperate as much as they can and continue this profitable relationship that they have, because for all these requests, they hire people. They get paid by the government to do these searches. They will then search for these keywords, provide that information back to the FBI, and then the FBI will do what's called parallel construction and then justify having it for another reason. They have their person. They will dig and cull, very much like they did for Steve Baker, looking for a crime that they can then charge.
Show me the man, and I'll show you the crime.
Yes.
So Bible. If anyone in this radio audience, what would they have to do in shopping for a Bible to get? So if I ordered a Bible on Amazon,
if it was in the actual the transaction, I'm sure that the Amazon, it might show Amazon purchase of Bible. I mean, it would be in the actual description. That keyword would come up in the database search, and that would be shared with the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
So basically, am I to surmise the federal government is trying to collect a list of all the people that read the Bible and maybe people of faith or Christians?
Well, their defense, and I don't take them at their word, but their defense was that it was limited to subjects for January 6th. But as we've seen that net being expanded ever wider and wider, I fully believe that's probably contacts of people who were potentially January 6th subjects because, well, we have to assume that they're connected to a domestic terrorism. So we need to then expand the investigation.
So if you see someone buying a Bible, let's go see if what their cell ping was on that day and where they were at.
Let's go find what the geofence was that day. Let's seek what their bank records are. Let's subpoena them. And they're getting nothing but cooperation. Apparently the geofence, which is the cell phone
which
access.
Which we're told didn't exist when it came to election and ballot crime, but now all of a sudden it does.
And it also it was corrupted when it came to locating the January 6th pipe bomb subject.
So it only works when they want it to.
Very convenient.
So we got a hard break coming up, as you can hear. I want to come back to this, though, because basically what you're saying is if you go out and buy a Bible, they're trying to say that might be potentially someone who is on the grounds January 6th that we don't know about. We can pinpoint them by the fact they want a Bible.
It's not just January 6th. We've seen them do that with the Catholics in the Richmond Field.
Pro-life people.
Pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-border sovereignty, pro-traditional
They're making
marriage.
A list.
Problematic beliefs. The FBI sees them as potential, and we'll get into this, agaves. That's the next evolution of domestic terrorism.
1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Phone lines open.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I have been on Bella Grace now several weeks, and I've already told you about some of the positive things I've seen since being on Bella Grace. We'll have a new one. My hands have cracked and bled for years, particularly during the winter months. Melissa came on TV not too long ago to tell some of the stories about how she would have to put lotion on both my hands every night, all winter long for years, because I would get such deep cuts on my palm, my fingers, and on my thumbs, the inside of my thumbs. I'm talking deep cuts. And boy, did they hurt, and they bled constantly. I was getting blood on my dress shirts, my dress pants, my tie, when I would tie my tie in the morning. I've done nothing differently, folks, other than get on Bella Grace. And I've held my hands up to the TV camera several times to show how healthy and healed my hands are. I don't know what else to say other than it's happened since I started taking Bella Grace. I also used to get up 3 or 4 times a night to use the bathroom. Now I'm only getting up about 1 time a night. Again, that's all happened since Bella Grace. I also have some new hair growth on top of my head, just like Melissa has, and her own hairdresser of 13 plus years was shocked by her hair growth. Now, I'm not making claims. I'm just telling you my personal testimony. In fact, speak of testimonies, we've been receiving a lot of emails from our audience telling us the results they're personally having as well. Now we've opened up a new landing page to make it easier to find everything, the testimonials and the nearly 80 clinical trials on this powerful Bella Grace elixir. You'll find that new landing page at melissahousebg.com. Melissa House, Melissa, H-O-W-S-E, Melissa House, B-G, stands for Bella Grace, melissahousebg.com. Why don't you check it out? By the way, remember, there are nearly 80 clinical trials, and we put a big button for those clinical trials on this new landing page, melissahousebg.com. This powerful elixir contains collagen, and men, we need collagen for our tissue, for being flexible, and for our hair growth. Everybody needs collagen. Then it has also cat's claw, which comes from a vine, the bark on a vine, and it is loaded with anti-inflammatories. And then it has what is known as astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, this particular brand, won the 2022 award for the cognitive award. And by the way, it crosses the brain-blood barrier, so it gets into our system. These three powerful ingredients in this elixir that I take twice a day, Melissa takes twice a day, we got a subscription, so it shows up every month at our door. You can do the same thing by going to melissahousebg.com. And when you do, I think you're not only supporting your health, you're also supporting our organization, as this is one way we are able to fund our broadcast is through our advertisers and sponsors. So there you go, melissahousebg.com. Thank you.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. We're also on the blowtorch stations of VCY America, vcyamerica.org. Apparently, the government can't tell folks what radio station you're listening to, but if they could, you probably would end up on a list. But there you go. This is really pretty shocking before we go to the phone lines, 1-800-347-9829. This is very, very, very disturbing because what you're saying is they're developing a list to figure out who are people of faith, because immediately that makes you pro-life, you're a Christian, you're interested in Judeo-Christian values, you're a potential agave?
Agave is an acronym. It stands for anti-government, anti-authority, violent extremist. And the FBI and Department of Homeland Security actually co-authored a memorandum a few years ago. And the profile of an agave is someone with a perception of government overreach, negligence, or illegitimacy. Just the perception could find you a meeting the profile of a domestic terrorist. And even beyond the public, this is what the FBI did to its own, as a whistleblower has come forward to say. They recruited 300 agents to the security division to investigate potential whistleblowers from the FBI. And what was the profile of a whistleblower? It's someone who they thought was conservative, had lots of children, did not want to be vaccinated against coronavirus, was a military veteran, or attended religious worship services. Usually.
Which you're every one of those. You're former military.
Not military, but I mean all
the
others.
Police officer, yeah.
And that is the profile of a potential conservative, and ergo a threat to the government from the FBI's perspective.
So they were researching their own agents.
That's what they did to their own.
So they could clean that out, clean those guys out.
Clean that out and have a army of good Germans.
Wow, good Nazis.
Yes.
So what is the threat to people if we don't see the rule of law restored in the next election cycle? What is the threat to Christians and broadcasters like myself and activists and authors like you?
My concern is that especially if there's a down ballot victory from the Democrats, that they will try to pursue laws like we have in Canada, where we'll have hate speech, and I'm sure that will be wrapped into something as some sort of national security, and they'll connect it to the agaves, and then you could then have a case opened up against you. They have their person. They will cull through anything they can to charge you with a crime and say that you fit this profile of domestic terrorism, and then you'll have a terrorism enhancement.
And they come and arrest you.
We've seen this. This is not new. I've actually developed some relationships with folks on the left at The Intercept. I've interviewed a few on the podcast. And now the other concern, too, is the FBI will find people who are vulnerable financially, intellectually. They're actually now grooming teenage autistic men, and then will groom them for a number of years. And when they turn 18, charge them with terrorism, providing material support to terrorists.
Yeah, we've read stories of that. Absolutely, we have. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's start out with Chris, line 4. Chris in Wisconsin, you're on with Steve Friend. Chris.
Hey, Brandon. Thanks for taking my call. Great show, as always. Yeah, you know, I just wanted to say you were talking earlier about, you know, showing the footage from the October 7th massacre. When you were mentioning that, I was thinking about the video footage shown of the concentration camps at the Liberation, where they show skinny people and the piles of dead bodies and everything. Well, I was thinking of that movie, Judgment at Nuremberg, and you've probably seen it with Spencer Tracy. There's a scene in there towards the end of the film where they show actual footage. It's about, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, where they show footage of the Liberation of several concentration camps, and they show piles of dead bodies. They show bodies being pushed into a trench, and people were real skinny, and stuff that was made out of human skin that the Nazis did. But then there's another movie with Alec Baldwin. It's about the Nuremberg trials, and they show more of that stuff, actual footage of the concentration camps, and it's really gruesome stuff. But it's important to see that, because that stuff really happened, and people still deny that, and it's really sad. But people do need to see that, I believe.
Thank you. I agree. Thank you, Chris. Let's go to George, line 1. George in Illinois. Go ahead, George.
Yes. God told Abraham he was going to give him the land. Now, in Joshua, the book of Joshua, he actually told them they had to go in and kill all the inhabitants thereof. And, of course, they failed to do it. But it's still a biblical mandate that they have to fight to take that land. And they are fighting. Take it.
Thank you, George. Chris, another Chris calling in, line 2. Chris, go right ahead, Chris.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I read this very disturbing article yesterday about similar to the conspiracy theories swirling around 9/11, how it was our government that did that, or even possibly Mossad that did that. I read this terribly disturbing article yesterday where they're claiming Those were Israelis doing that to Israelis on October 7th. Those were Israelis on the paragliders. Those were Israelis on the motorcycles. I can't believe that those theories are already starting.
They started really, really fast. Was there some kind of failure with the intel in Israel? Without a doubt, Israelis are saying it. I mean, high-ranking former military guys are saying something went wrong with the intel over there, with communications, people that should have been on that line. So there needs to be an investigation. But we know it was Hamas and their folks because they're on camera, they're on video. We were able to track back some of them and their social media accounts and who they actually are, what they were saying about the Jews and slaughtering the Jews on their social media accounts, and then they went and did it. Some of them were tied back to UNRWA, that UN organization that is breeding them for anti-Semitism and martyrdom and jihad. So absolutely, thank you so much. Let's go to Robert, line one. Robert in Arizona. Go ahead, Robert. Hi, Robert.
Yes. Hello, am I there?
Yep, you're there.
Yep. Okay, Revelation 6 talks about Christians being brought before magistrates and leaders and, you know, for the sake, because of the gospel. And I think that's what's happening just before the rapture happens. Persecution is going to pick up more and more. And yeah, some of us are going to be incarcerated.
Yeah, I do believe the persecution is ramping up. Thank you, guys. Thank you for all the calls. Before we conclude here, Steve, did you ever, you know, you're a young guy, but you've been around enough to watch and see what's happening from the inside of the FBI. Did you ever think this agency would turn that way? Did you ever think it was, if someone had told you this, you would have said, you know, before you went in to the agency, would you have said they're nuts, they're crazy?
I think so. I think just like anybody else, watch TV and movies, and you have this idea that the FBI is a subjective force for good. I think, though, it's questionable whether or not it ever really was. I think the Venn diagram for what it really serves, and that is maintaining a status quo for whoever's in charge.
Are you saying it should have probably never been established to start with?
I mean, the fact that it was established by a half-page memo from our attorney general rather than from our Congress is obviously problematic.
I think the founding fathers would have had a problem with a standing federal police department.
I think they probably would have put it in our founding documents if that's what they wanted.
They would have left it up to the states to do this like they did with state rights, correct?
They did, and I think that there's an avenue for the federal government to deal with interstate crime, but we're not in the days of Bonnie and Clyde anymore. Certainly states like Oklahoma and Texas.
So we need to abolish the FBI, is that what I'm hearing?
We need to completely abolish it, and if we're unwilling to do that, we need to at least disarm it, take away the guns.
Wow, so it'd be investigators with no guns, no SWAT teams.
No SWAT teams at 6 a.m. They would have to be forced to work with local agencies, and then that way the sheriff could stand the gap.
That's our show. Take care, folks.
We have slashed the shipping cost on our freeze-dried food at WVWTVstore.com. Hello, I'm Brandon House. And for this month of January and February, we are slashing our shipping by half. Half the cost gone. We're saving you half the price you would normally pay for shipping this heavy freeze-dried food, but this is for a limited time only at WVWTVstore.com. Here we are in January of 2024. I think it's going to be a bumpy ride as we go into the election in the fall of 2024, not to mention the threat of World War III, China going after Taiwan, all the military-age males that have poured over our border from Islamic nations and the CCP. Folks, do you have your preparations in order? Even the mainstream media like CBS Face the Nation is talking about a black swan event, a major national security black swan event in 2024. There's the talk of the power grid going down. Even the irresponsible FBI director told Congress that all the lights are flashing red for a terrorist attack. Well, it might be predictive programming, and they may cause it to happen or allow it to happen. But reality is, if it happens, you want to make sure you're prepared. I took about 3 days during the Christmas break to get more organized. I've been prepping since 2013, but I had some prepping gear in one closet and another in another closet. I got organized, got it all put together in the right places. I know where everything is, and then I even added to it and updated. Well, here's your chance to update your emergency supplies by going to WVWTVstore.com for the month of January and February, as we have slashed shipping of our freeze-dried food in half. So that'll save some of you several hundred dollars, but you need to take action now while we have the supplies and while you can save half on the normal shipping price. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, or 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. 9357. Again, you can place your order over the phone if you prefer, 901-468-9357. Or for greatest of ease, just go right online, wvwtvstore.com, and get it while it lasts and half off the shipping cost. Thank you.